الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome to the Islamic Faith in Focus. I'm your host, Imam Hassan A. Amin. This program or this Islamic studies class is designed to present what Islamic faith is and what it is not. I am not here to debate with anyone about my chosen faith, no more than I will go back and forth with you regarding any faith that you practice. I am unapologetic when it comes to the rites and the rituals, the authentic rites and the rituals of the faith of Islam. Please call your friends and let them know that Islamic studies class is about to begin. Also, do not forget to have your Quran near you, along with paper, pencil, pen, or some way of taking notes. By the way, those of you who have been attending this weekly Islamic studies class, welcome back to class. Those who are new listeners or new students, welcome to our weekly Islamic studies class. Today's topic is associating partners with Allah. Now, I want you to open up your Quran. Now, that's the only text that's required for this particular class, and that is to have a copy of the Quran next to you. The Quran itself is in Arabic, but also is roughly translated into various languages, French, Spanish, Urdu, different languages that are translated in, and it may be translated in your language, or your native tongue, or it may be your secondary language, which is English. You get that from whyislam.org, or you can go to Quran.com and follow along with me. It's those are free. And why Islam, they send you a copy of the Quran so that you can follow along with me. Or again, you can go to Quran.com and follow along with me on that particular website. And of course, many people have either they have their laptops, their PCs, their personal computers, or they have their phones or tablets where they can also go and listen and look at the Quran and listen to it and read it at Quran.com. Again, the bottom line, it doesn't really matter what version you have, but you need to have access to Quran so you'll be able to understand and follow along with me when I read various verses from the Quran. And more than likely, I will read it in the English language, which is a secondary language of the Quran, translation of the Quran. The original language of the Quran revealed in Arabic. So you'll go to chapter 17, verse 111. Again, chapter 17, verse 111. And it says, and say, all praise is for Allah, who has never had any offspring, nor does he have a partner in governing the kingdom. And it has more particular, this particular verse. I'm just going to read just this first portion where it says again, and say, all praise is for Allah, who has never had any offspring, nor does he have a partner in governing the kingdom. So this is proof itself from Allah, the Kalam Allah, the words of Allah, saying that Allah never had offsprings, and what it's associated with what we're talking about today, and proof regarding what we're talking about today, which is, it says, nor does he have a partner in governing the kingdom. So move on. Abu Huraira, one of the companions of the Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessing upon him, reported that Allah's messenger, may peace be upon him, as stating that Allah the Most High and Exalted said, I am the one who does not stand in need of a partner. If anyone does anything in which he associates anyone else with me, I shall abandon him with one whom he associates with Allah. And so I want you all to understand that on the day of judgment, Allah will ask a question. I am the king. Where I'm the king of kings. Where are your kings? The ones you should call kings, call the rulers, the ones you associated with me, the ones that you go to and seek help from, and seek guidance from, and that you pray to this particular thing or individual, that something that we make with our own hands, with wood, or with stone, or clay, or maybe a human being, we may set him or her up as being God, a God like in their standing. And so we associated partners with Allah, that these individuals, these things, they're all Allah. But please understand, my beautiful students, is that we worship the creator, not the creation. We create the one who created everything that we see and that we don't see. He is the one that we worship. That's the one that we worship, not those things that Allah create. Animals, human beings, sky, moon, or whatever, we don't worship those things. We don't ask those things for guidance and for help. We go to the creator of those things to ask for guidance and help from Allah. Prophet Abraham, his father was the main person that made idols during his time, and that he would make idols with his own hands for people to worship. He was an idol maker. He basically had a shop, if you will, and people go in and they look on the shelves or get a shopping cart. This is from me. And they put their idols in the shopping cart, pay for it, basically, and then they take it home and begin to worship it. And begin to offer things from it, sacrificing animals, maybe even people, or fruits and vegetables for that thing. I remember seeing one time, I was looking on the internet, and there was this person, doesn't matter who the person was, but they had these three idols, looked like they were sitting on a bed, and Allah knows best. The three idols sitting on the bed, and she had a plate of food, and she was basically scooping the food, let's say rice, for example, scooping the rice out, and then put it to the mouth of these idols. Of course, they did not take the food. They did not eat the food. They were made with people's hand. They were not human or human babies that the person was trying to feed, or an elderly that they're trying to feed. They were trying to feed these idols. And so she kind of took her shoulders up and down and then went to the second idol and tried to do the same thing. And then struck the shoulders again. And then she went to the next idol and did the third idol and did the same thing. Oh, she kept doing it and doing it and doing it, and she with the same results that these idols did not eat anything. They were not Allah. And Allah is not in need of any feeding or any food or any sleep. And we look at the Quran, which one of the chapters is the 112th chapter, when it says, "Say, here is Allah, He begets not, nor is he begotten. It is none like unto him. There's nothing, again, there's nothing like Allah. And then there's another ayat, a verse in the Quran, where that's going to be in Surah Al-Baqarah, which is the second chapter in the book, the 255th verse. And it mentioned that Allah does not sleep, Allah does not slumber, and it's nothing like Allah. These are very strong verses, and in the whole chapter talks about there's nothing like Allah. Allah sits alone on a throne of on a throne of authority, or in a fashion that suits Allah. And so let me get back a little bit. And so his father made these idols, and people come shop and buy these idols and take them home and worship these idols. And so his father made an idol, and he left one time. He left them in charge of the idol, or all the idols, while the people went to this big festival. And so Abraham, he took this tool, if you will, and then he chopped all the idols up, and then he hung around the neck of the biggest idol the tool that he used, a hammer, axe, whatever it was, and hung it around the neck of this big idol. And what happened after that, and the people came back from the festival, and they were upset. You broke up our idols. Who did this? And then Abraham, he said, ask the big one. And then they basically said, you know this big one, he can't talk. I know that. He can't do anything. It can't do anything. It's just there, made of clay and stone, basically made by my father's hand, and you are purchasing. And then I won't get into the rest of the story because this particular episode, particular class, is not about the Abraham and his teachings. It's not about that at all. But I wanted to bring that out as what he did to the idols that people used to worship. And they couldn't ask the idol anything that had the guilt, if you will, around his neck, the axe around his neck, but it couldn't say anything because it wasn't able to say anything, not able to say anything. It was not Allah, was not able to do anything. It and all the other idols could not even defend itself or themselves from the destruction that Abraham did upon all of them. And so I want you all to keep in mind from these various examples, I say what happened with the woman trying to feed the idol. Also, you had the situation, again, where Abraham's father, he made the idols. Abraham destroyed the idols, and idols were not able to defend themselves from the destruction of Abraham, nor can they speak and confess, yeah, the big one say, yes, I did it. You have another situation with Salman al-Farsi. You know, he was Persian. Persian. He was became one of the followers of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, or one of the Sahaba. But the earlier story in his searching for the truth and searching for Allah is that his father, again, like Abraham, his father was he attended to and made sure that the flame would burn because the people worship fire. That's what they did. That's what they worshiped, was the fire. And someone had to keep the fire burning so that people could continue to worship it and it never go out. A human being had to keep the fire burning. And so, his father was, he attended to the flame. And then Salman, he also was in charge by his father, Leave. He was in charge of keeping or attending to the fire to keep it burning so the people can worship it. And then it's a long story about him going, some are going, and he going to hearing a church preaching, and he liked what they were saying, and he would go by there every day, listen to them say something, listen to them talk, and then he searched, and he found proper Muhammad. May peace and blessing be upon him. And I won't get into the story there, but I want you to understand, in both cases, their fathers, Prophet Abraham's father and the father of Salman, they both were the attendant or creators of what people worship. The idol for Prophet Abraham and also Salman, he tended to the fire that the people used to worship and kept the fire burning. Let me move on to one other thing I wanted to mention pertaining to worshiping of idols, and that is through the time of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, that's what people used to do. They understood that Allah is the greatest, but they always had an intercessor was their idol, were their idols. One would intercede between Allah, the idols they made with their own hands, and the human beings. That's basically what they were doing, and Allah knows best. Scholars greater, more than me, people more learned than me, can give you more details about this particular thing. I'm just giving you some basic information to kind of whet your appetite and go after more information about Islam or even about this particular subject. And so, when the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, when Islam grew and he went back and he went from Medina to Mecca and basically to conquer Mecca at the beginning, basically chased out of it, and they went back strong. They didn't spread any blood or hurt anybody, but they went in just for the sheer numbers and took over Mecca. And so the thing is, he started to clear out around and inside the Kaaba at least 360 idols that people had gathered around the Kaaba to worship as offering to Allah, and in their mindset that they intercede for them to Allah. They prayed to these idols, and these idols would represent them before Allah, instead of them going straight to Allah. And Muslim, we certainly believe there's no intercessor between ourselves and Allah. No human beings, no idols, or anything like that. That we go straight to Allah and ask for Allah for what we want and for what we need and for what we desire. We take it straight to the source, the creator of all that we see and all that we don't see. And so we had these examples, and there's other examples. People even do that today. Like I said, I saw online this particular individual that she was trying to feed idols with her own hands, rice or whatever she had on the plate. And if you just study more, and you'll learn more about this. These are some of the other things that people do instead of going straight to Allah. They go to these idols as if these things they make with their own hands have more power or strength than them. But they don't. You go straight to Allah for what you need and what you want and what you desire. Allah said, ask of him. You want help? You need help? Then seek help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he says nothing about going to these things that will intercede on your behalf. And I pray to Allah that you all understand what I'm saying by what I'm saying in terms of when I'm presenting this particular class, when we're talking about the idol and idol worshiping and associating partners with Allah. And again, as I mentioned before in the ayah verse 17, I'm sorry, chapter 17, verse 111, it says, say, our praise is for Allah, who has never had any offspring, nor does he have a partner in governing the kingdom. And I want you all to keep in mind that Allah's going to mention to you on the day as well, okay? Those things you worship, and you didn't worship me, on this day, Yom HaDin, Yom HaKiyama, on this day, you go to those things seeking rewards for those things on that day, on this day. You went to them for the help and for the guidance, and you worship them. On this day, go to them and see, can they save you from what's getting ready to happen to you? Seek your rewards from those things you used to worship, or those individuals you used to worship, or those animals, whatever it was that you used to worship. Go to those things and ask them to protect you on this day. They can't protect you, nor can they protect themselves. So let me move on, my beautiful students. And then that is Jabir, may Allah be pleased with him, reported that a Bedouin came to the Prophet, may peace and blessings be upon him, and asked him, O Messenger of Allah, what are the two imperatives which lead to Jannah or hell, meaning lead to paradise or hell? He, may peace and blessings be upon him, replied, he who dies without associating anything with Allah will enter Jannah, meaning enter paradise. And he who dies associating partners with Allah will enter the fire, al-Nur. And so I want you all to keep in mind, the man asked a question, you know, tell me. I mean, what's going to lead me to the hellfire, and then what's going to lead me to paradise? What are those things? And then the Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him, he said, look, if you associate partners with Allah or anything with Allah, if you do not associate anything with Allah, Allah will enter you into Jannah, enter you into fire, into the paradise. I'm sorry. Again, he who dies without associating anything with Allah will enter Jannah or enter paradise. And he who dies associating partners with Allah will enter the fire. You associate partners with Allah, you enter the fire. If you do not associate partners with Allah, you enter paradise. It's that simple. That's it. Don't be a mushrik. That's an individual that associates partners with Allah, or commit shirk, which is associated part. That's S-H-I-R-K, associated partners with Allah. If you're not that type of individual, or you don't do this, and then you go to paradise. But if you do these things, you're that person, then you will enter the fire. And of course, in the fire, that is a place where all kinds of torment are in the fire. And you go to my previous class and you can learn about the torment, or just some of the torment in the fire. Or you can also go to one of my previous episodes or previous classes where I talk about paradise and all the beautiful things and the rewards of paradise. So you can do that after you listen to this episode or this class. Then you can go and learn more about those two things. And you want to get to paradise, then don't associate partners with Allah. You want to get to Nar or to the hellfire, then you go ahead and die associating partners with Allah. The next thing I want you all to understand, Anas, another companion of the Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessing upon him, said about, or he asked about, the major sins. And then it was said, associating partners with the law, disobeying parents, killing oneself, and false speech. These are the major sins. Associating partners with the law, disobeying parents, killing oneself, or false speech. And some say just committing murder, and without directly or indirectly, without any cause, is another way a person committing a major sins. But the first thing is associate a partner with Allah. This is one thing that's unforgiving. Allah forgive everything. But when you associate partners with Allah, Allah will not forgive that. Allah, if our sins are as high as the sky, Allah forgive. Or like the foam of the ocean, Allah forgive. Or as heavy as all of the earth, Allah forgive. Or as tall as a mountain, Allah forgive. But if we associate partners with Allah, Allah will not forgive. So we ask Allah to forgive us. We ask Him over and over. He is most forgiving, most merciful. And so we ask Allah over and over and over again to please Allah, forgive us. Please Allah, forgive us our sins. See you committing shirk right now and you worship idols right now, stop doing so. It's a simple thing. Just stop doing it and ask Allah to forgive you. Seek repentance and immediately stop doing that thing and feel sorry. I'm sorry that you did it and some remorse for doing it and don't repeat it again. And then ask Allah to forgive you. Ask Allah over and over to forgive you, your associated partners with Him, because there is none like Allah. There's nothing like Allah. Allah, He sits alone on the throne of authority. There's nothing similar to Allah. He sits alone. He is the one that created all that we see and all that we don't see. And Allah asked me on the day of judgment, okay, did you tell the people, did you teach the people about not associating partners with me? I can only say, Allah, you know, this is what I did. But I'm going to tell you, of course, because you asked. And yes, I told them of such and such an episode, such and such a class, Allah, do not associate partners with you. No human being that is equal to you, none whatsoever, no created things. Anything that you create is not equal to you, and it should not be worshiped. Now, let me move on. Also, Abu Ayyub. Khalid ibn Zayd ibn Ansar, he's the son of Zayd al-Ansar. May Allah be pleased with him. I reported, a man came to the Messenger of Allah, may peace be upon him, and said, direct me to a deed which will admit me to Jannah or Paradise and take me away from the fire. The Messenger of Allah, may peace be upon him, said, worship Allah and associate no partner with him. Perform salat, meaning prayer, pay zakat, meaning pay your charity, and maintain ties with our relatives. And that's a very serious thing, that if we associate partners with Allah, and we should not, and also that we should not cut our ties with our relatives. So I want you all to keep these things in mind when a man asks about directly to these, what things I can do to get me into paradise and keep me from the fire. And he said not to associate partners with Allah. Don't worship anything and worship only Allah alone. And establish the prayer, aqim as-salat, and pay the zakat, and pay the charity. And also maintain ties to relatives. Don't cut off our ties to our relatives and say, I'm not talking to that individual anymore. I don't have anything else to do with that individual. That we are not to do that kind of thing, my respected brothers and sisters in Islam, and of course my students, my talib ilm, seeking knowledge, those who are seeking knowledge. I want to just mention a couple more things. That is, it also was narrated by Mu'ad ibn Jabir. The Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, said, do you know what Allah is right upon his slaves? And I said, Allah and his Messenger knows best. He said, his right upon them is that they worship him alone and do not associate any partners with him. He said, and do you know what their rights over Allah is if they do that. I said, Allah's messenger knows best. He said that he will punish them. And so my beautiful students, I want you to keep all these things in mind in terms of do not associate partners with Allah. Stay away from associating partner with Allah. And if you worship anything other than Allah, stop doing it. Ask for forgiveness from Allah and just work and go directly to Allah and worship Allah alone. You have attending the Islamic faith and focus class. I have been your instructor, Imam Hassan A. Amin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.